Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello, welcome to the Living Hope program today. And today we're going to begin some studies and thoughts in the Gospel of Mark. Mark, of course, is the shortest Gospel, 16 chapters. And Mark himself is quite an interesting character. We know that he is the one in this book who talks about running away, that he's in the crowd, it's the crucifixion about to happen, and he runs, and he actually is naked because he's very keen to get out of the way. He's also the one who goes out with Paul and Barnabas, and clearly there's something that goes wrong because Paul isn't keen to have John Mark around. However, it's also important to point out that this young man, who is used by the Holy Spirit to write this gospel record of Jesus, clearly comes good in the end. He has his moments, but he comes to a place of confidence in God. Paul writes right at the end to say, "Bring Mark, he's useful to me." How does he begin? Well, there we are, chapter 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Straight in there, it is no account of kings coming, no account of shepherds in the fields, and no account of Mary receiving the angel. It's straight in there. This is the good news about Jesus. Now, he does talk about John the Baptist, and he talks about baptism, and that's a very powerful moment, Jesus getting baptized. And it also refers to the wilderness time. And here is just one of those things about Mark that's quite fascinating. Although his gospel is short, although he's really getting on with it, moving through, he throws in a few things that the other gospel writers don't. Yes, they all, Matthew, Mark and Luke, they tell us that Jesus was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. But Mark just throws in this little extra, he was with the wild animals. So that just indicates the danger that Jesus was in and the way in which he needed to be very careful. He's weak to a measure because of the fasting, and yet spiritually we know he's massively strong. Well, it's also clear that Jesus is going to declare the kingdom of God. He comes and speaks that the kingdom of God has come, it's there, it's near, repent and believe the good news. We know that John talked about repentance, and Jesus as well. The kingdom of God has come near, repent. Turn away from your sins, believe the good news. Then John goes straight into the call of some of the early disciples. Simon and his brother Andrew, come follow me, Jesus said. A little further, there's James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and they're called to follow. And then, well, as if you feel he's packed enough into these early verses, he talks about an incident in the synagogue. They go to Capernaum, and there's a man in the synagogue. Jesus is teaching. The people are amazed at the authority of Jesus, but there's a man in the synagogue who's got a real strong demonic problem. And when he hears Jesus, the demon can't keep quiet. He cries out, and Jesus speaks with authority. Be quiet, come out of him. And immediately the man is delivered from the demon, and the people are amazed at the authority that Jesus has. So we've just moved through some of the incidents in this early chapter of Mark. Jesus proclaiming the good news, casting out the demon. Let's listen to some worship now, and there my good friend Patrick will join me. We'll reflect a little more upon Mark getting started with his gospel. Thank you.
trace of sin that has ever been done can be washed by you, can be cleansed by you, by you.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at these verses from Mark chapter 1. He talked about Mark's background and what he went on to do. Obviously, at the time of these events, he was young, and maybe, you know, rather sort of impulsive and passionate and did things that upset some people. But the gospel itself, obviously written many years later, so by this time he would have been more reflective and perhaps more careful about what he wrote.
Yes, I think that's a very important point, that this gospel was probably written about AD 60-65, and therefore there is time. It's a little while after Jesus had actually died, risen, gone back to heaven. And it's also thought, by the way, that Peter and Mark knew each other, and that Peter may have given Mark quite a bit of the information. So it's a mature piece of work. It's very hurried,
yes,
but it's a mature piece of work.
Yeah. And it starts in verse 2 with a quote from the Old Testament. And I just wonder how important are references to the Old Testament as we read the New.
Well, I think they're very important. Mark mentions some, Matthew mentions far more. But nevertheless, the principle that Jesus has been predicted in the old, there's shadows of him in the old, is very important for the gospel writers to reflect that although in one sense Jesus is entirely new, the concepts of the kingdom of God, righteousness, repentance, they're foundational, and Jesus will bring them to the fore.
Then we see Mark's account of Jesus calling the first disciples, and I'm always struck by the fact that, you know, Jesus called them and they just dropped everything and went with him. Was it, do you think, really like that? Why would they have come so readily to follow Jesus?
Well, of course, during those days, it was perhaps not unusual for a rabbi to go and try and gather a class and a group of people. But Jesus clearly was very compelling. There was something about his authority, something about his whole manner which spoke to those who heard him. I think there was a winsomeness that just drew them, and they decided they would follow him. So they could have followed others, but they made a choice. Now Jesus is the one we will follow.
And then, you know, very early on in the first chapter of Mark, we begin to see Jesus in his ministry and miracles like driving out evil spirits, and we'll go on to see his healing ministry later on. How important in Jesus' ministry was this kind of miracle working, would you say?
Well, I think it was very important because it underlined who he is. And when he, for example, casts out the demon, it makes it very clear that there is a rich contrast between the demonic and that which is of God. And the fact that there was this early clash between Jesus, the righteousness of God, and the evil one was very important and significant. And Jesus deals with the devil, and that bring a lot of hope to people who are oppressed by the evil one.
In many cultures today, stories like this one about Jesus driving out evil spirits and ideas of demons seem very alien to modern culture, certainly in some cultures of the world. What part do you think they played, and how real were they at the time, would you say?
Well, I believe that the spiritual realm is a very real realm, and consequently illustrations of evil as well as illustrations of good are always going to come to the fore. And I think that what I would say is that the demonic is present in every culture and in every situation, but the way it's manifest may not be the same. But there are parts of the world that I have the privilege to go and preach to,
yeah,
where people are very, very aware, and they're very much tuned in to the fact that this is an issue that needs to be dealt with. It's also true in more sophisticated cultures, and the enemy is just a very wily foe, very cunning, very deceptive. So he's there, but Jesus is greater.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at Mark's Gospel in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.